What are y'all going to do tomorrow? Sit around? God, I got my butt got tired this afternoon. Did yours? If it had been good stuff, I'd have left. But I said, the moment I leave, they'll say something I wanted to hear. I'd like to thank Ray and Betty for having us, and we've enjoyed being with you. And I appreciate you letting my wife come with me. I've got one now I'd like to be with. Other times they used to thrill me when they'd say, we can't bring your wife, there's an oh, it's too bad. I started to say, don't worry about it, I don't like her either. And Jimmy picked us up at the airport, and I was glad he knew where to go and what to do. A lot of times they pick you up at the airport, it's the first time they've been there, and they can't find out how to get out or anything, and he knew what to do. I don't know whether they're going to take you back or not. I've been concerned about that. I haven't seen him since, except he passed me, but he didn't talk to me. Of course, it's good to be with Bob and Ruth and Hotshot over here, Stan. Because we're old friends, we go back several days. Not long, because we're not old enough. But and Joe and Charlie and I have been talking about getting together. Charlie and I talked about it last time on a boat, like we were going to get together and going to start getting together. And when did we start talking about getting together? It was, well, it was only about 8 or 9, 10, 12 years ago, I guess. And we've already talked about it again, about getting together. Joe and I were together once, and we talked about getting together, but that was about 15 years ago. I like alcoholics. My wife said the other day, she said, this guy and I were talking, this guy sponsored, we were just sitting there talking in the hall, and she said, God, that sounds good. She said, it's amazing. I still believe it, and I know you're not going to do it. But God, it sounds like it. I like to be in the Bible Belt. I don't do well in California. They don't know what Southern Baptists are. In fact, I don't know what they know what they are. I think they got lost before they got started to find themselves. So they're a different breed of cats. But I like it over here because I know you. I know why you got scared to death. Baptist got you. My wife was a Catholic till she married me, and I took care of that deal. Catholic can't stand it when you marry a Baptist. You're through. Any particular thing you all like to talk about or anything? I took a bath today, and it really does throw you. You know, I'm really not used to all that. And I haven't had anything to eat hardly. God, I've been on a diet. And I've been on a diet and only gained 3 pounds. That's when I'm on a diet. And I've just blown the whole deal since I've been here. And now I just said, I wonder how we're going to get to that buffet tomorrow with 300 other people here. What's that new deal I got? Well, it's not so new now. I could never think of the name of it. That new deal where you're dependent on sex, have to have it all the time, or what is it? Codependency. God, I wonder why I didn't think of that. Can you imagine if I'd have thought of that? I'd have been better than Bill Wilson. I'd have built me a bunch of codependent hospitals. Wouldn't that have been, hell, everybody's codependent. Wouldn't that have been wonderful? Why in the hell didn't we think of that? Think of the money we could have made out of that deal. Then we'd all go around and praise the Lord, for God's sakes. I'm thinking about now getting a quick deal. Like, say you are codependent on sex. Not that I have ever had difficulties there, but just came to mind. We could do a fast food deal. Fix them on the way home. You know, just a drive-through. Quick fix. Just set up a chain of them. Kind of like the snow cone bunch, you know. God, we're something else. Can you believe that? Here we are. Us. The smartest people in the world. The people who know. You and I. We go to Hazleton, tell them how we are, and they write it down and put it in a little book, and we buy it because we identify with it. I told my sponsor, I said, we're not that sick, are we? He said, yeah, we're that sick. You believe that? God, we're something else, aren't we? God got the greatest thing that a human being could have today, and we want something else. Nobody in the world do that. That's amazing. And this other deal that they had, you know, they were out of teddy bears, so they wanted to sell a bunch of teddy bears, so you all had to buy, everybody had to buy a teddy bear. And then the other deal was, what was that other deal? Oh! What do you call the parents? They are malfunction? Dysfunctional! And you believe us calling our parents dysfunctional? Alcoholics have never done anything but function properly all of our life. Aren't we something? Couldn't believe we'd do that. Dysfunctional. Isn't that a hell of a word to talk about your parents? I'll guarantee you one thing. My parents functioned one night. Well, I was raised in that little old town out in northwest Texas where it was dry. That means we don't sell it, we don't drink it, and we don't believe in the folks that do. And God had counties out there, they call them dry counties. They had 254 counties in Texas, and only about six or seven of them sold it. You had to drive a lot to get it. And I was raised there, and had a guy standing up there just like me, said, if you think it, you might as well have done it. Hell, I was thinking it before I even knew what it was, but I knew I must be thinking it. I am Jim Williams, an alcoholic. I forgot to tell it, didn't I? And I'm new in AA. Don't look like it, but I'm premature. Didn't get here till 65. Last drink was in August of 66. Figure that out, I'd tell you how old I was when I got here, but you'd figure it out, and I'm not going to do it. Because I really looked at it. I mean, I don't look that old. But I was raised in that little old town, and that guy standing up there with me and telling me all those kind of things and telling me if I think it, I might as well do it. And, you know, that Southern Baptist, we were the one that prayed for the Catholics. They drink, you know. Presbyterians, they knew that was going to happen. Episcopalians, they just got tired of being Catholic. And the Methodists, they just didn't like water. I think I'd like to be a Lutheran. They believe in doing everything just a little bit. Got to be about 13, which will happen to you if you do what I'm doing one day at a time. And one day after school, I got in that car with that girl. We kind of drove out in the country, got to mess around. I got those funny feelings. So I told them about it. We've been meaning to talk to you, sir. I knew they had. You know we've been praying for you. God, yes, I know you've been praying for you. See, it's not like AA. AA said, saw old Ray lay in the ditch last night. If he lives, we'll get him. And this bunch, they just hone in on you. They see that you're about ready to get that gleam in your eye, and they know, God, if he gets that gleam in the eye, starts to think it, and he does it, we might lose him, he might like it. So they said, what you need to do is get saved. I said, what from? Haven't done nothing. They said, "You meet us before the funeral or service." So I met them, and we got back there in that room, and we got down there on our knees. We just prayed and prayed and prayed. They just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Said, "Now, when you get..." They sing that last stanza. "You get up and you get saved." So I waited and waited that last stanza, and they point at you. "We're going to sing this last stanza for that one right back there." God, your throat hurts. Come down the aisle, and it's kind of like a step. Don't give out any chips. Then they all come up and hug you and kiss you and tell you how great you are, and hell, you know you're not, but I liked it. Then they throw you in the tank, and the handkerchief leaks. You choke a little, but you come out all right. Went to school the next day and saw that girl. Came right back. So I said, "Well, we're going to have to do it again." It didn't take. They said, "No, you just don't do it." Well, they didn't know. I didn't know how to don't do anything. I didn't know they'd just say, "Don't do that." They didn't do it anymore. I said, "Well, how do you don't do it?" "Don't think about it." I said, "I wonder why I didn't think about that." I thought, "Well, it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll go ahead and think about it. Tomorrow I'll get up. I'll just never think about it again." Got up the next day and thought about it more than I ever thought about it before in my life. Had no idea that I'm the kind of guy, when I start not to do something, I'm going to do it all the time. When I start not to think about it, that's all I'm going to think about. I used to try to wake up real quick before I thought about it. Finally got out of high school. Had a hard time getting out of high school. Had to go to summer school to get out of high school. I don't think I was so dumb. I was just always busy. You know, it's like a guy walked by and he said, "Saw you in the car yesterday. I spoke to you, didn't even speak to me." I said, "I was having a meeting." He said, "There wasn't anybody in there but you." I thought, "Well, hell, how many do you need?" 30 miles away was a town that was wild and wicked. I'd heard about it. And I told this guy one Saturday, that's before I knew you could do it during the week. "We'll slip over there and find out what those honky-tonk beer joints are." And we opened that door of that honky-tonk, and there was that deacon I'd seen all my life with a warm girl in one hand, a cold beer in the other. And I said, "My God, let's get out of here. He'll tell Jesus on us." And we didn't even get to do it. You know, if you get caught before you do it, you ought to forget it. This guy said, "Well, he can't tell anybody." I said, "Hell, he's got a better shot with Jesus than we do." However, he was happier than I had ever seen him. And I liked the girl he's with on Saturday night a lot better than one he's with on Sunday morning. And I used to see him every Sunday morning, and it appeared to me that deacons were just sad. He was just sad. Now I know, hell, he's just tired. We had 2 beer, didn't taste good, didn't feel good, and I was glad to get out of there. Next day, I went to Sunday school and church, first time I wanted to go in my life. I said, "I'll bet you that I have noticed you get old enough, you may not have to go." There he was, sad like he always was. Then I had my first spiritual awakening. Maybe you can do it a little bit and just don't tell anybody. God, I told my buddy, I said, "Next Saturday, 2 joints, we'll go to the other joint, don't tell a soul." Slipped over there, didn't see a deacon I knew, and learned how to do everything but commit adultery. I'd have done that, but I didn't know much about it. And you know how we are, think about it all day long, drink a beer and forget it. Or if we do, we don't know what we did or not. So I just drink one beer right after the other. I didn't even know how to drink. You just keep drinking one beer right after the other. It gets feeling good. You can't feel it all. Southern Baptist, not allowed to dance. Learned how to dance. Fell down the dance floor. Did it 5 times after I learned how to do it. Blacked out. Waked up the next morning. Threw up just like I'd been doing it for years. This guy called. Said, "How do you feel?" I said, "God, I feel horrible." He said, "Oh, but you had a great time." I said, "Oh, well." Then I knew how to have a good time. Just go out and get drunk, black out, wake up, thanks for throw up, then you know you had a good time. Did not know you drank it any other way. I thought people who didn't drink like I drink didn't drink. Now, I see them now, they're putting umbrellas in them. They don't want any rainwater to get in there or anything, I guess. They were already putting fruit in them before I quit drinking, not my drinks, because, you know, too much acid is not good for you. One Saturday afternoon, I was over there by myself trying to put off getting drunk as long as I could. So I walked by this post office, and there was a sign out there that said, "We need you." I walked in there, and they did. Said, "Have you ever been to California?" And I said, "No, haven't ever been, but 30 miles away from home." Said, "We're going tomorrow." I said, "What do I do?" He said, "Sign right here." I thought, God, that's great. I'm already having trouble. I don't fit in this deal. I'm going with kids' places, doing things I didn't want to do, didn't want to go, so they'd like me, and they never liked me enough. And I always got the wrong girl. The girl I wanted is the one he got. I'd always get the wrong one. And my folks would say things like, "Jimmy would never want to do that." Yeah, I did too. I already done it once. Getting ready to do it again. Their greatest phrase was, "Jimmy wouldn't be caught dead doing that." Wouldn't you hate to be caught dead doing it? Everything that they knew I didn't want to do is what I wanted to do, and everything they knew I wanted to do, I didn't want to do it. So I came home, told them, I said, "I'm going to California tomorrow." And they said, "You can't go to California. You don't have any money." I said, "I'm going to the Air Force. They're leaving tomorrow." My folks looked at me funny, but they let me go. Went back, and then went to San Antonio. That outfit operates one day at a time. But it was a funny bunch. You get up in the middle of the night, make your bed real quick like somebody's coming. Nobody ever came. Then they want to eat breakfast. My God, it's the middle of the night. It'll make you sick eating that time of day if you haven't been drunk. Then they were scared because they always walked in groups. Whoever it was that was running our outfit decided we ought to go to China. He didn't tell us we were going to China. We were going to take a secret trip. This is great. I love the Air Force. We're going to take a secret trip. They're not going to tell you, and so you can't tell anybody, and nobody will know you're going. Whoever it was decided we ought to go to China. We're in the Air Force, so we go to China by boat. I think they flew the Navy over, and the Marines ran the boat. There's a lot of Chinese over there. They have a few hills, a few trees, and raise a little rice, but they mainly just make Chinese. They like it, and they're good at it, and they're not interested in doing anything else. They lose some, but they're making so damn many that it doesn't make any difference. Well, after you've been over there about 3 weeks, you've seen all the Chinese you'll ever need to see. So I told them I was ready to come back home. We stayed 2 years. Then we came back by boat. My folks says, "Where are you going to school?" I said, "My God, wouldn't be caught dead going to school. I couldn't get out of school and went to school. Hate school. Wouldn't even... I'm not ever going back to school." They said, "If you don't have that piece of paper, you won't be able to apply for a job, let alone get one. Every man coming out of the service is going to have that piece of paper." Well, I proved my folks wrong. I gutted that thing straight through 3.5 years and made sure that I didn't learn one single thing. I made sure that every course that I took, I was going to pass it before I took it, and that it wouldn't benefit a human being whatsoever. You know what I like about you and I? We'll go to any length, even if it destroys us, just to be right. A lot of people won't do that. A lot of people say, well, I could be wrong about that. Not you and I. The only time you and I will ever use that statement is when we're damn sure we're right. Then we might say, well, I could be wrong about that. Having some minor difficulties with women. If you put 10 pretty girls up there, I'll get the sick one every time. I don't know where I learned how to do that. I'd see some guys, they just go one girl one week, one girl next night, and everything. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to make sure that you've got a pretty girl, one that you can take home and be in love with, for God's sakes. Not supposed to just go with any girl. The only thing that's awkward about being the way I was is when you're walking around in love with no girl. The way my deal was, it'd take me about 2 months to find that precious sick little thing. Then we'd be so much in love in about 2 months, I'd almost have to quit work. Then they'd just deteriorate from there on out. I thought when I got to AA, I said, this is the greatest place I have ever been in my life. First time I'd ever been where they had the sick women grouped. And I like both kinds. I like the ones that got sick doing it and the ones that got sick watching him do it. It seemed for some reason every place that I went to work always wanted me to come to work on Mondays. I don't have the flu on Thursdays. If I have the flu, it's on Mondays. And evidently, God wanted to make sure that we saw that all businesses operated properly. And that's hard work. Some of those places that fired me are still operating, doing it wrong. Which probably means most of us are too smart to be in business. Finally got out of a job and I couldn't get one. And the way I'd look for jobs, I'd get up every morning, I'd throw up and I'd spray. And I'd go fill out one of those forms that asked you personal questions like, where have you worked the last 10 years? Well, it's none of their business. They want to know, where have you lived the last 10 years? I like to move around some. Sometimes the people I was living with wanted me to move around some. How are you going to remember all those addresses? And then the other blanks you've got to figure out, wonder what they'd like for me to say. Well, you don't know them too well, you know. And then you get through that, just go out and get drunk, and I do that one day at a time. I finally saved this one place. That I had a buddy there, I knew they had an opening, I knew I'd get the job. So as soon as I walked in there, he saw me, and this guy was standing there, and I was getting ready to talk to him, and he said, I knew he's going to help me, and I said, this is perfect. And the moment he saw me, he said, you don't want this job. God, I want the job. I got to have a job. I'm out of a job. I need a job. Haven't been able to get a job. I need the job. You don't want this job. Everybody knew what I didn't want. Everybody knew what I wanted. It's always the opposite. Also knew there's something about me he'd like to tell me, but he didn't know how to do it. And I also knew that he's going to like it better when I left. So I went out and got drunk, waked up the next morning, said, you know, I've been doing this for about 10 days. I think I'll just take the day off. So I went out to the golf course and ate no leg, no piece of toast, went around to the beer joint where my last spiritual advisor worked. He said, my God, you look horrible this morning. I said, yeah, I think I'm coming down with something. He said, my God, man, way you're shaking, drink this beer. I said, oh, I'm Baptist. We never drink before noon. That's 10:30. And he said, drink the beer. So I drank half the beer and sprayed the golf course with it. I don't mind spraying if I don't lose my concentration. You know, you start thinking about women or something, it gets your nose burns. Then you got to drink the rest of the day just to kill the pain. And I knew how to meditate before I got here. I don't do it that deeply anymore. It would be when it's just me, God, and the commode. And you say, oh, God, and it's stringy. It's an after-dinner talk. And you don't know where the end is, and you can't breathe, you'll get it back. so you don't know whether you're going or coming. You know, after you meditate that deeply, it's tiring. And even in the hot summertime, I'd always lean over there, and that bowl was always just as cool. I told that guy, I said, I think I better go home and lie down. I think I'm really coming down with something. I didn't get to use those vibrators in motels until 2 years after I was sober, because I used to vibrate all by myself. And I'm supposed to call on hospitals. And I used to get up morning, and I'd say, God, I hate to go out to that big old hospital, have a hard time finding a parking place, and you got to take that kit, go through the lobby and wind around through the basement, see that purchasing agent, and you know, he ain't going to buy anything anyway. See, you don't even have to park. You just drive right on by. Wait till 10:30 and have a beer and say, didn't buy anything again today. So, I forgot where I was. Was I in any particular place that y'all know? So I went home and got in the living room, and I called all the Jim Williamses together, and we had a meeting. And we decided what I needed to do. I was living in Houston then. What I need to do is commit suicide. And then those people who didn't hire me will see in the Houston Chronicle, Jimmy Williams commits suicide. And they'll never get over it. They'll worry about it for the rest of their days. They will never, never get over it. But I didn't know how to do it. I see it now on television all the time. Suicide, call that number. They probably have free pamphlets. Softer, easier ways. Maybe even have groups. Join our group. We're losing some, but we're gaining all the time. I didn't like guns because they make noise in the morning. I don't like noise. And besides, they splatter all over everything. Razor blades were popular then. But I didn't know what kind of blade you use. Straight edge, double edge. Nobody to call. Got two wrists. Which one do you cut? Which way do you cut it? You cut it this way, you cut it that way. Well, I knew you couldn't do it in the living room. You get blood all over the carpet. Now I'm always thinking of others. So I went to the bathroom, just got my old double edge razor blade. And I had sense enough to know, you and I are not dumb, you know, even though we haven't done something before. What if I cut the left wrist, left side died, right side be alive? What if you backed out half dead and half alive? I thought, what I need to do is cut both wrists, then I can bleed and die evenly. So I cut both wrists, and I'm sitting there on the throne, thinking about those guys are going to worry about it for the rest of their days. And the phone rang. Then I thought, what if where I'm going, I'll always wonder who that was calling? That'd be enough to run you crazy. So I put a Band-Aid on my wrist right quick. Answered the phone. It was the police. You know, police have been trained by ministers. You know, they'll stop you at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, come go along with me. You'll say, I'm sorry, I can't make it. I was supposed to be home at 7 o'clock. My God, at 3 in the morning, I have got to get home. Then they say, I've never talked to one of them yet. They didn't have personality change. They say, get out of the car. I said, I'm not going to do it. Then they really go nuts, and you have to pacify them and go along with them. This guy said, where were you last night? And I said, right here. And he said, no, you wasn't. I said, how do you know? And he said, we was there. Then I didn't want to talk to him anymore. I already learned, don't ever talk to anybody that knows more about where you've been than you do. So I said, well, what do you want me to do? Well, they won't tell you what's wrong, you know. You can either come down here, we'll come out there and get you. I said, I'll be right there. And he said, if I were you, I'd pick up an attorney on the way, brother, because you're in big trouble. I said, I'll be right there. It'll take me an extra 30 minutes, but wait for me. I'm coming. Then I had a meeting. You know, I love to live with me. I can live a week in a half a day. I've had a hell of a day. Been out the golf course, threw up all over the golf course, come back, had a big meeting, committed suicide. Now I've got to call another meeting, and hell, it's just 11 o'clock. I thought, you know, maybe the Lord is trying to tell me to leave Houston. Maybe I've been here long enough. I checked up, had $36, which is plenty to start a new career. And it's for inflation. And I thought, I think I'll just leave town. So I didn't have any furniture. Just had some old clothes, dirty clothes, a few quilts, blankets, pillows. Threw it all. Just had enough room car and leveled it out right there. Had one piece of furniture, no lamp, lampshade. And I threw it on top. I guess I was going to carry the light if I could find the plug. So I got in that old car and dropped by and got a pint of whiskey just in case. Waked up the next morning about 130 miles away in a little old town named Brownwood with $7. And I said, wonder how my folks are getting along. It's amazing when you know when it's time to call home. I called them collect so they know it was me. They said, what are you doing? Our famous words. Oh, just out riding around. Well, you want to ride by and have a cup of coffee? Believe we will. They were living in Fort Worth, so I drove to Fort Worth. I never shortchanged my folks. They're not going to get their money back. So I always gave them my very finest story. In fact, I got to listen to it, and it was so horrible, hell, I cried with them. I thought, my God, if I'd known it was that bad, I'd left Houston 3 years earlier. And old John said, well, Jimmy's honest. Let him have 100. With 107, you can almost go into business. I knew I had to sweat that night out, so I sweat that night out. Got up the next morning, didn't sleep a wink. Got up, started to leave early, and my aunt gets up early, and she's standing there and said, I said, oh, Annalee, there's one little thing I forgot to tell you last night. While I was down there in Houston, I was drinking some. But I decided last night I shall never drink again as long as I live. You'll never need to worry about my ever, ever, ever drinking again or ever being underfinanced ever again. They look at me still funny. When I got an A, I went back up there and she said, I said, do you remember that time? She said, which one? Then she said, well, I think I remember when you drove off, I turned around to John and said, what do you think? And he said, he's 33. He'll never live till he's 35. Said, we used to think that'll be the last time we see you alive. Well, I'm rich. I don't have any place to go. I've got all my clothes, got everything with me, what I've got. I remembered getting a guy a job in the Rio Grande Valley. I said, I ought to go down there. I understand they got palm trees and everything. It's a great place to go. So I stopped at a filling station. It's only, you know, it's just a little ways down there, right, from Fort. So I just stopped at the filling station, said, how far is to Waco? And they said, 79 miles. I said, let me have three. You know where the Rio Grande Valley is? It's the end. They have a little creek. They change countries. If you haven't found your bottom, it's a good place. Right down there, it's the end. The United States quits. Everything, they just quit. And when you get down there, nobody's down there except people that come out of the Midwest dodging the snow in the wintertime and or having a big time going down there bird hunting or fishing or going to Mexico. And you can get a job down there because nobody goes down there looking for jobs. They put me, I thought the guy would invite me to his house. He didn't do it. Put me in an old hotel the drunk ran, and I never took my clothes up there. Stayed there 3 solid weeks. Every morning I get up, go across the street, get my shorts, socks, go up there, take a shower, come back. And I'd go down there where this guy worked. Well, they finally hired me. Now, they didn't hire me because they wanted me. They hired me because if you're breathing pretty good, they'll consider hiring you. Because they don't have people coming through there. Well, when I'd get a new job, usually I could just get drunk and not drunk. And I'd work 7 days a week till I got up into my place. And they had a guy in my place, and it took me almost 3 months to get that guy fired. They just didn't, he shouldn't have been there. It's my place. They should have known I was coming anyway. Alcoholic, right? We don't have to arrange it. It's supposed to be arranged. So I end up getting that job, and then I'm realizing what's really wrong with me. I'm having trouble losing women and going through that space. What I need to do is get a number one and a spare. Now, that's hard to do when you're drinking. It's hard enough to court while you're drinking. Because you call them about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning and say, if you're not doing anything now, I'll pick you up about 7:15. She'll say, fine. Might be 4 or 5 days before you get by there. My weekends were like this. I'd get off work. I'd work Monday through Saturday noon. And I'd get off work, get in the car, run straight to the golf course, have a heavy lunch like a six-pack of cheese cracker. Blackout, be in bed by 6:30, 6:45. Wake up 10:30, 10:45, dry mouth and all, jump in the car, go down to my beer joint, close it at 1 o'clock. Then whoever my best friends were at the time, we'd drive on over to Matamoros, Mexico, and wait till daylight, just have a few drinks till daylight, maybe have a little Huevos Rancheros and throw it up, or sometimes we skipped it, drink a little beer Sunday and taper off into Monday, and sometimes I made it, sometimes I missed it. Well, this particular weekend, I was off on Friday. So I'm over at number one's house, blacking out around 11 o'clock. So I'm going to be off on Saturday. And, you know, sometimes we're just too honest for folks. Evidently, she had never heard about number two. And evidently, I just mentioned that I thought I might drop by and see her on the way home. And I said, but I want to go to the bathroom first. And evidently, she did not hear me. I needed to go to the bathroom. She followed me in there to discuss it right then. No patience. And I was blacking out, so I don't remember what happened. You know that's bad. You know they're putting carpet in bathrooms now? Because y'all are having meetings in there. You need to have it out where you got couches and carpet and beds. Don't have it in the bathroom where they got lavatories and commodes and bathtubs. It's too hard a surface in there to have a meeting. I was living in an old faded green trailer in an alley behind the motel. I had the rock yards for a long time before I started putting them up. I'd see those weeds come up, you know, I'd say, you'll never make it. And I'm living in this old trailer, and I've already learned how to wake up in total fright in my own bed, let alone somebody else's or some other place. And about that time, something goes, wham! And I jumped up, looked down, still had my clothes on. I said, oh, my God, I bet I was going somewhere early this morning. Looked down at an old white shirt and had blood on it. God, blood makes me sick, you know. And then I felt, oh, I've got four, my forehead's all knots, four big knots all over my forehead. I've wrecked my car. That's what it is. I've wrecked my car. And that's the police. And, you know, trailers have one door and little windows like that. You can't get out. No way to get out of there. I'm in total fright, and he's beating on the door, and my head's killing me, and I don't know what the hell's happened for. And I opened the door, and my God, there was that 6'4", 240-pound Baptist preacher saying, come go along with me. I said, preacher, I don't know where the meeting is. I know I look like I'm ready, but I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I may look like it, but I'm not ready. I can't go. I can't go. I just can't make it. I just can't make it. I said, and besides that, I just can't make it. Whatever it is, I can't make it. He said, get in the car. God, got in the car and looked over there. My car was parked, buddy, but looked okay. Must have wrecked somebody else's car. Wrecked somebody else's car. And we start to drive off, and I go into total fright, and I said, preacher, I'm going to have a beer. There'll be no drinking before the meeting. I said, preacher, I'm going to have a beer. I'm not breathing. I'm not breathing. Preacher, I am not breathing. I'm going to have a beer. I can't breathe. Do you know Baptist preachers don't give a damn whether you can breathe or not? So we drove up, and finally drove up there in front of her house. So I assume the meeting's going to be there. Head is killing me. My head is killing me. Still got a little blood. I'm really, nobody's concerned about it. I know it's got to be bad. I haven't seen it, but I know it's bad. So we did walk in, and she did look like she might have fallen in a bush or something. So I said, I've got to go to the bathroom. I went in that bathroom and looked in that mirror, and I'm going to tell you something. She won. I'll never know what really happened. I think probably what happened, I lost my equilibrium, fell in that bathtub, and she stepped on me. 2 weeks later, we got married. We got married at the First Baptist Church, so it worked. There was no drinking before the funeral ceremony. I told her that since she had been married before, and I was pure, that it wouldn't be necessary for us to invite a lot of people, but she could invite some of her close friends. And about 11 o'clock that Friday night, I'm off again on Saturday, I'm blacking out, so I started to call my friends. When I get to the funeral church, before the ceremony, my good friend come, my golfing beer drinking friend, beer distributor friend, came out of that church and stopped me. He said, "Listen, I'm talking to you as your best friend. You called me at 3:15 this morning. We're not here to see you get married. We're here because we don't believe it. And I want to tell you something. As your best friend, the longest bet on your marriage is 3 weeks." But I showed him. I hung it in there for 8 years. But my life changed. I had no idea how nice it was to get up and throw up in peace. I was always going to quit smoking because it made me gag of morning. So I'd grab those cigarettes, grab that coffee, and go in that bathroom, lock that door, and she'd tell me what I was through that door. Then I'd have to get upset, go make the living, get drunk, come home, tell her what she was, and we did that one day at a time. Finally, I went back to that preacher, and I said, "Preacher, this thing is not working." He said, "You know what's wrong with you? You're missing the beauty of life." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Did you know the fruit trees are in bloom?" I said, "No." "What you need to do is go home and get your wife and get in the car and drive up the valley and smell the aroma and look at the blossoms." I said, "Yeah." Went home, opened the door, said, "Get in the car." He said, "What for?" I said, "We're going to go look at the blossoms." She said, "The blossoms?" I said, "Yeah, we're missing the whole damn thing." We get in the car. I go by and get a six-pack, start up the valley. Saw a sign that said 12 miles to Matamoros, turned left, went to Matamoros, switched tequila, blacked out, missed the whole damn thing. Lost that job, could not find one, completely nuts for 2 or 3 months, could not find a job, and finally a guy called me that if there was another guy that was a drunk just like me, that drank just like I did, it was this guy. And I've been drunk with him many times. And he managed a drug house. And he hired me, and he sent me, took him 6 weeks to send me to Fort Stockton, Texas. They got little trees out there about that high. This is West Texas. I mean like West Texas. You can see California on a clear day. They want me to stand in a drugstore and hold a pad with lines on it and write oreomycin and stuff that they need as this pharmacy calls it out. And you can't do it. You're moving. You cannot get it in between those damn lines. And that pharmacist looked at me and he said, "God, you look like you're going to fly apart." I said, "Any minute." He said, "Well, take some of these." Now, this was before Valium. I understand Valium, both eyes crossed, you walk straight. This was just Librium. Nothing too little. Just a little two-tone green and black, two-tone green stuff. Little old bitty thing. Hell, ain't nothing to them at all. Took two of them, waited 15 or 20 seconds, nothing happened. You know, I'm used to something burning, moving, doing something, didn't do nothing. So I took three more. Now my knees just go, huh?
I said, God, I know how to weave. Now I've got to learn a new stance. You know, they've ruined the drug business. Y'all have ruined the damn drug business. I used to get them for nothing. And what would always tickle me is a guy said, Jim, I'm a little short of 10 milligrams. 25 be okay, be fine. See, they don't know. It's the same size. We just go by size. We don't go by milligram. Same size. We're taking five of them at a time. We take five of those at a time. What the hell is the difference? So I took those in the daytime, drank beer at night. After the third beer, never before, I'd make a decision where I'm going home early or I'm going to close the joint. If I'm going to close it, I stay on beer. If I want to go home early, after those three beers and all that Librium, then I'd go get a pint of bourbon and throw it in on top of that, and you go home like you're supposed to go home, blacked out. My ideal evening was when I blacked out right at the door. Sometime I was a little early, and sometimes I'd have to take a couple of straight swigs so I'd make sure I blacked out right at the door. Good blackout driver. Bad drunk driver. Never had a wreck blacked out. But drunk, it's all according to what stage I'm in. I drive at different speeds. I can even hit stuff sometimes not even moving. Guy offered me a job back in Houston. I was recommended to this company by a guy that hadn't seen me in 15 years. And I got that job, should not have gotten that job, something I did not know anything about. And I end up with that job back in Houston on March the 1st of 1965. And I set up battle in this particular place. And, oh, what's-her-name and I had finally developed, that's what's-her-name number one, developed such a nice, sweet, deep hate for one another that we're really relatively safe because the one that died first won. But it was best we slept in safe, separate bedrooms because it wasn't too safe to sleep around there. My new customers never saw me drunk. I'd always leave them, go to my place, get drunk, go home. On the day before Christmas Eve of 1965, I played golf with these guys and their in-laws, these administrators, and I got a little too hospitable, and I went by to meet all the women, and I blacked out right at the door. I drove from one side of Houston to the other. That's nothing new for me. Got up the next morning, did the same thing I always did. Looked to see if my car was back. I'd even quit asking it how it got back. And then I'd do the same thing if I was ever at anybody's house. I'd always call them back and say, I sure am sorry about last night. I was not sorry about last night. I wanted for them to tell me, what the hell did I do? They never tell you. And my deal was then, they said, it was okay, Jim, you just got drunk. Drunk was getting to be a bad word for me. My best friend would tell me, I can't have you at the house anymore, Jim, we love you, but you're drunk. And see, the only drunk that I knew was old Bratch, who was the town drunk in Crowell, Texas. And I remembered him, but I wasn't in the alley drinking the wine. But everything finally got me to where I was sick and tired of it, and I couldn't stand it anymore. And old what's-his-name had gone next door, they was getting ready to have a Christmas Eve party, and I looked up in the phone book, I guess heard on radio, and looked under Alcoholics Anonymous and called in a group. And that girl acted like she's glad I called. I should have known then, had the wrong number. She said, somebody be right out. Well, hell, I waited an hour. Nobody showed up and looked down his box, had three beers. And I said, I'll just call them back, tell them I don't need them. Hell, it's Christmas Eve, and, you know, I don't need them anyway. Besides, I don't know what to do. And I'd forgotten who in the hell was it I called. And about that time, the phone rang, and this guy said, I'll be right there, Porker. Tell him I didn't need him. Hell, he hung up. He came by himself because they had moved to another complex, but his wife was managing these apartments when I moved in, and he used to watch me going back and forth from 7-Eleven, says, if he lives, we'll get him. So he knew who I was, so he came by himself. And I thought, I'll just get rid of him. Looked out there, little short guy with a book under his arm, and I said, oh, my God. We're going to read that book and pray. I've not only been baptized, I've been rededicated 10 times. I said, just get rid of him. We came in, we didn't read the book, we didn't pray. I don't know what in the hell he said or what I said. And about that time, old what's-her-name came back in, and he said, do you want to go with me? Well, I didn't, but it's better than staying with her. So I got in the car with him, and I thought, my God, I am going off with a perfect stranger. Hit that old 610 loop. God, I'll go into total fright. And I said, God, even though his car is better than mine, I should have taken my car. So I said, I'll buy a beer. I don't want a beer. God, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I got bad drunk last night. I've got to have a beer, and I've got to have one right now. I said, you either let me off, and I'll walk off this damn freeway, or you take me over there. I have got to have a beer, and I've got to have it right now. And besides that, it's 11:20. He said, can you wait till we get to the club? Oh, yeah, I can do that. I can handle total fright if I got a little light. It's when there's no light that you can't handle the fright. And we drove over kind of a bad neighborhood. Drove up in front of this old rickety-looking house. I said, is this it? He said, yeah. I thought, well, when I get some money, I'll help these folks. Then we walked in there, and I saw a bunch of the deacons sitting over there talking about women in the stock market, and I found out later on they didn't know anything about either one. Back there in the back, they had an old linoleum. I bet the linoleum had holes in it before they put it on the bar. And the bartender, he didn't look a hell of a lot better than I did. Program of Attraction, you know. This little guy said, mix him up a little milk and honey. I said, my God, what do you put in it? I never drank anything like that in my life. He said, well, you see, you're nervous. I said, hell, that's what I've been trying to tell you. And besides all that, you're used to sugar in your system from alcohol. And the honey has already been digested. I said, indigestion is not my problem. Hell, if you throw up right, you don't have indigestion, for God's sake. So I drank half of it, and it curdled, came right back up. He said, don't worry about it. We have plenty. I thought, hell, I'm going to put on a show for these folks here. One of the smart ones said, walk all you want to. Hell, I didn't want to walk at all. Sit there and I was drinking that sweet, sweet, I hadn't had a piece of chocolate pie in 10 years. God, they just sat there and watched, I've got a new animal in here today. Watch you go back and forth, drinking that sweet, sweet, sick, sweet. About 4:30, he said, I guess we're ready to go home. And I said, yeah. I said, let me out a couple of blocks before they get to the apartment because I knew I'd just slip in there and get my car and go get some bourbon because beer would not cut that sweet taste. He said, well, don't drink anything. I'm going to pick you up in an hour and a half. I said, what for? We're going to a meeting. I said, where? Right back where we came from. I said, my God, we was there all day. Went back over there. Kind of a funny bunch. I saw a few of them kind of hugging and kissing, laughing. Rest of them, they didn't act like they was too damn happy to be there either. Got up there and they said a little old prayer. Some girl got up and talked 2 or 3 hours. They just laughed. Wasn't a damn thing funny. And some guy got up there and talked and they just laughed. I said, God, this is a sick bunch of people. Then they all got up and held hands. Said the Lord's Prayer, for God's sakes, alcoholics. Said the Lord's Prayer. All of a sudden, they said, amen, and I'm telling you, every one of them started talking, just came alive. Every one of them started talking at the same time. Nobody listened. I said, I wonder how in the hell he did that. They didn't sing any songs, lay any hands, do any kneeling, didn't do nothing. They just, boom, it just happened. I said, I'm going to keep my eyes open tomorrow night and see what he did. And me and the deacon are standing back there in the back where Joe and Charlie are talking. And good night, Joe.
Can't get by the damn thing and you get an AA. You can go too, Charlie, and I'll go with you. Where was it? Back in AA? I'm in AA yet. You know what we're doing? So at the meeting, he and I are standing back there, and I see the deal. Men and women laughing, holding hands, jumping in those cars. I said, uh-oh. As soon as you're here a little while, get to go to those apartments and have a little drink and talk about this damn thing. We went night after night after night. Nobody invited us anywhere. I've got the only deacon that nobody can stand. Going every single night. Nobody's inviting us anywhere. They're all going somewhere, but I'm not getting to go. One night, it doesn't rain in Houston. It just falls out. And he called and said, I'll pick you up in 30 minutes. I said, it's raining. Did you ever go get a drink when it's raining? I'll be ready. Then one weekend, had gone back to Valley to see if we had any friends left. So I just went home and I locked the door and I pulled out all the shades and I turned out all the lights. Had nothing on but the TV set. That old phone just ring, 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 let it ring. Next morning he called and said, where were you last night? I said, I was right here watching television and enjoyed every damn minute of it. And I may do it again tonight. He said, well, you missed it. I said, what did I miss? He said, I don't know. I said, wasn't you there? He said, yeah, but I only heard what I was supposed to hear. We'll never know what it was you were supposed to hear. So, my God, you got to go every night or you'll miss it. I went 3 months, got drunk, 3 months, got drunk, 3 months, got drunk. Three's always ticks me, Charlie, about that 90 days. I got them. They said, let me have them for 90 days. They had me for 90 days, and I got drunk every time. Then the last time, I sobered up all by myself. And then I figured out what the deal was. I'm really not one of y'all. I'm really not an alcoholic. The only thing that's really been wrong with me is I've just always been underfinanced. And if I can get properly financed, I can tell them all to shove it and I'm gone. But first things first, I need to go back and say thank you very much, but I'm leaving. And I'm just not one of y'all. And y'all have already told me you can't make one out of one that's not. So the meeting had already started, and evidently I'd called him one night or one morning about 2:30 while drinking. I doubt it very seriously. I think they'll tell you any damn thing that'll fit the picture. Whether it's true or not has nothing to do with it. Well, I just sat through that meeting, and then I'm going to resign. And here he comes, and I'm walking over there to him to resign. And he said, don't you ever call me again. I said, God, I'm glad you said that. I never called you in the first place. They called you. And I'm going to tell you something your best friends will not tell you. Nobody likes you here. We don't get invited anywhere, and they don't know me, so it's got to be you. And said, I'm going to tell you another thing. If I had as bad a personality as you do, I'd go back to drinking. And you don't ever have to worry about my calling you ever again. If you was the last man on earth, you will never, never hear my voice ever again. And I left, and he didn't. Till the next morning. And I called him and said, meet me at the club. Walked in the club and said, get your coffee and sit down. They talk to you like a dog here, you know. I'm going to tell you something about Alcoholics Anonymous, Al-Anon, Al-Teen, Al-Tot, and Al-Dog. There's absolutely no failure here. Never has, never will, impossible to, cannot fail. There's just no failure here. Never has been. And never will be any failure here, provided you do exactly what we tell you to do, the way we tell you to do it. Now, there's only one thing that you're going to get to do for the rest of your days, which you're the only one that's going to get to do it. But it's the only thing you're going to get to do. You're going to get to make a decision every day. whether you're going to go our way of life or your way of life. If you don't give an alcoholic a decision to make, they'll flounder on the same subject for years. So we're going to give you a decision to make this morning. Are you going to go our way of life or right back out that door? I said, I don't want to do either one. He said, I didn't ask you what you wanted to do. I asked you what you were going to do. I said, you mean tell me that you don't care whether I want to or not and the group doesn't care? And he said, not at all. I said, well, if you'll make it perfectly clear to the group that I don't want to do it, then I'll do it. He said, well, first of all, we got to get some things straight. It's your thinking that's wrong. How much am I thinking wrong? We always start with all of it. And if there's any good, we'll let you know. I said, you put a sign up there. You got a sign there that says, think. And he said, that's for us. So now we're going to give you some things to do and some things not to do. The things we're going to give you not to do is going to change. The things we're going to give you to do, you'll just add to. Then it's going to happen over here. I said, what's going to happen over there? We don't know, but it always happens. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I've been listening to every single word that you say. Every word. You never listen to me. And I'm going to tell you something. I want you to hear me. I do not understand. He said, and that's it, and don't you ever forget it. Said, there's two things that you must remember for the rest of your days. No matter what's going on in your life, you do not understand. Then you'll have understanding. And when you quit trying to understand, then you can enjoy it. And the other thing is, no matter what your situation is, it's never the situation. It's never them. Never her. It's never God. It's you that must become different. You must become different than you have ever been before. I said, how do I do that? He said, oh, you can't. I said, what the hell you tell me for then? He said, that's what's going to happen to you. He said, now I'm going to give you the kicker. This is the very one thing that got you here. But it's also the very one thing that, should it not change, will be the very one thing that's going to keep you from getting all the things that God has for His children. As long as you know that you know, you'll never know. But when you begin to do what we tell you not to do and to do and begin to know that you don't know, then you'll begin to know. I said, hell, you're crazy. He said, I know. He said, now, you know that car, first thing we'll learn how to not do is drink or take a pill. He said, now, you know that car that I gave you that has my number? Four other men, no women. On mine. When you get squirrely, no matter what time of day or night it is, you call one of those numbers. If you don't make the phone call, you didn't do it. Make the phone call. That's where we're going to learn how to not do something. And this is what we're going to do every day. When you get up in the morning, first thing, get down on your knees and say these words and these words only. God, take me today and do with me as you see fit. Let thy will only be done in my life, and help me to definitely not take a drink of anything alcoholic or mind-changing drug. Amen. Do not need to tell God what he has not done, nor what he needs to do. God can handle that all by himself. And then call me before you go to the bathroom. I said, why before I go to the bathroom? You may not need to go. I said, do you mean tell me you don't think I got sense enough to know and I need to go to the bathroom? You said, we'll find out. They don't give you a lot of credit here, you know. Before I got out on my knees, I said, God, you and I know he don't know. Hell, he's a Presbyterian. But we're going to do everything this time just like he says, so when we get enough this time, we can tell him to take it and shove it and we're gone. Got down on my knees, did that little prayer, and got up, made sure I need to go to the bathroom. Picked up that phone. He didn't even ask where I need to go. And I said, go to the bathroom, meet me at the club. I made him to the club, and he said, now go to work. I said, I hate my job. He said, what's that got to do with it? I said, well, I hated it so much yesterday, I couldn't go to work. He said, what'd you do, sit in that chair and think? And I said, well, till noon. Then I went to the club. He says, you don't know how to go to work. I said, how? He said, go get in the car. If you'll write that down, we'll catch it. Then he said, and besides that, later on we'll do it more when you learn how. But in the beginning, besides that prayer you say every morning, when you get in the car, invite God in today. I said, how do you do that? He says, you say, God, I invite you in today. Oh. Put that on the card and we'll have it. Then you have to go to work, which I do not think is good for alcoholics. It's too stressful for us to go to work. And then you got to go back to the AA club and you walk in out loud so everybody can hear it. They say, get your coffee and sit down with us. Hell, I know to get my coffee. And you sit down with them and you can't understand what in the hell they're saying. You're almost comfortable. They say, out loud, so everybody... Time for you to go home and eat supper and come back. Hell, I know to go home and eat supper and come back. Then after meeting, he said, now I want you to go home, close the door, get on your knees by the side of the bed, and thank God for the day. I said, I do not thank God for the day. It's been a miserable damn day. I hate you, and I hate God, and I hate AA, and I hate her, and by God, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. He said, do you feel like when you talk to God that you don't mean it? I said, that's right, and I'm not going to do it. He says, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. It's only the action that you're taking that you don't know you're taking that's going to cause all the things to happen that you had no idea was going to happen. And once you take the action that you don't know you're taking, it causes all these things to happen you had no idea was going to happen. By the time all that happens, all the things that you think are going to have to happen will never need to happen. Hell, I understood that. I said, do you mean to tell me that when I pray to God, God does not care whether I mean it or not? He said, not a bit. God is not going to depend on you for your relationship with him. He's going to handle that all by himself. I said, you mean you don't care and God doesn't care and the group doesn't care? He said, that's right. I just got in my car. Went home, locked that door so what's-her-name couldn't get in there. Got down on my knees and said, okay, by God, God, thank you for a miserable damn day. Amen. Hell, if he don't care and they don't care and God don't care, hell, I don't care. Did everything just like he said for about 2 months. One morning, about 9:15, I did nothing different that day than any other day. I'm driving down that old loop about 9:15 above Memorial Drive, and this guy that I had never known as my friend moved in that car with me. And the first time in my life I knew something different than I'd ever known it before. God stayed with me all that day. I thought, man, the rest of my life's going to be just like this. I thought, hell, I might, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I said, you know what? I may get me a tent and some tambourines. Or better look out, because Jimmy's coming. I'll hit the road and start saving some souls. I might even let him go by and put up the tent. I couldn't wait for him to get back to the club, and he walks through that door, and I said, get your coffee and sit down. The Baptist is taking over. But they don't like it too good, but he gets his coffee anyway, but he didn't like it. And I take him in that next room, and I set him down there where I could sit right there. And I told him the deal. Then I waited for him to make me the leader. And he grinned just a little and said, "Thank God we've got that over with. Now we can get started." I said, "My God, that took a year." He said, "Some are sicker than others." I said, "What are you going to do about old what's-her-name?" "Hey, I'm not going to do anything about it. My wife and I just left our marriage right where it was. We're not going to do anything about it or mess with it or anything. I'll send you the guy who's got his all worked out. Sent me to Episcopalian. You know they don't know." That guy said, "Are you still married?" And I said, "Not really. We're still legally married, but I haven't had sex with her or slept with her, and I can't remember when. I've been praying for somebody too, and nobody will." There's a girl I know that's in the group, in my group, that I know God has fixed just for me. Been sober almost a month. I'm a heavy drinker. And they won't let me go with her. He said, "You haven't got anything going now, have you?" And I said, "Nothing. I'm having brain damage not doing it." He said, "You know, when you first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, you didn't fit in here and you didn't fit back out there. Felt like you were lonesome and you're the only one going through that period and it was a lonesome time." I said, "Yeah." He said, "If you're willing to go through that period in every area of your life, I'll not only guarantee your relationship with the woman you got or with another one won't make any difference. I'll guarantee a relationship with a woman and with women and men that you could never imagine. And I'll give you a bonus on top of that. I'll guarantee your relationship with Almighty God that you could never have dreamed of." I said, "I don't believe that." He said, "Isn't that wonderful?" I said, "What do you mean? You don't need to." He said, "It's on the action." I said, "I've already heard that." He said, "Since you're married, don't start up anything new. We'll practice on her." He said, "Don't you ever tell her what's wrong with her ever again." I said, "Who's going to tell her?" He said, "I don't know, but you're not. And you're never going to do anything with Al-Anon friends or children or work her around to get her to do what you want her to do." I said, "Never." He said, "Never. And you're going to pray for her." And I said, "I'm not you pray for her." He said, "I want you to learn this prayer and begin with her because you're going to use this prayer in all types of relationships from the rest of your days. God, thy will be done for her as well as for me. Take our relationship, let it be what you want it to be, and show me the truth." I said, "I do not want God's will to be done for her as well as for me." He said, "Remember, what you want has nothing to do with it." He said, "You may even have to say that prayer 100 times a day in the beginning." Well, I started doing it. And I said, "God," before I started, I said, "God, you know, and I know I don't mean it, but I'm going to say it." And so I did that. And guess what happened? I finally said, "Why don't you send her to Al-Anon?" He said, "My wife has been taking her to Al-Anon. If there's any Al-Anons in here tonight, I want to tell you something. I love you. Call me anytime, day or night. The more she went to you, the more she found you depressing. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it." Nothing happened between she and I. When I did that prayer, what happened was never what I thought it was going to happen. You see, it's never what's going on that I think's going on is what's going on. That thing surfaced, that old sex, love, lust thing surfaced in me, and I had it and couldn't get rid of it. And I told my sponsor, I said, "I'm praying to God to get rid of it," and he won't do it. And I told my sponsor 10 times a day, every time I got a chance, I'd call him. Tell him I still got it. So I finally told the group. And one of the girls in the group said, "You're not supposed to tell that in the group." So I went over and told another group. And one of them snitched on me. You know, we don't gossip here. We're just concerned.
He said, you know, usually when you stop acting on a defect,
isn't that nice? Don't have to say sin. Run us off. Defect of character, when you stop acting on it, God transforms your life and transforms you and removes it. That's not happening to you. Where are you and that guy going? I saw it. He left first, then she left. Pretty hot out there in the car tonight. Just got to tell them how bad that. Got to get rid of that. See how we are? All they thought about was start doing it. They didn't. You just got to watch what you say around us. We just... They said, now listen, that's not happening with you. Oh, what's your name's going back to the valley? You go home and lock yourself in that apartment. Don't you call me. Don't you call anybody. See, they can never make up their mind. One time it's call them all the damn time. Now it's don't call them at all. We're so sick and tired of hearing about that thing and God won't remove it. Evidently, this has got to be different with you. So I went home, prayed all day long, cried and cussed and did everything else. About 11 or 12 o'clock that night, I went to sleep. Next morning, for the first time in my life, that thing is gone. They're so smart, I didn't even tell them. After the fourth meeting, we all went to ice cream that night. We was all sitting around the table, and I said, well, I guess I might as well tell you all. And he said, oh, hell, we knew it the first night. I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, well, you need to know that you're always going to be the last to know. I said, why is that? He said, we don't know. Then old, what's her name and I, number one, got a divorce. And she was glad and I was glad, we just didn't act like it. Then I married me a civilian southern religious Baptist. Well, there ain't no way you can miss that, is there? She didn't know anything about alcoholics, but we almost destroyed herself. She got into all the TV boys. Swaggered, wasn't it? Tilton and all that. And so then we got a divorce, and now I married a girl that would not work at all. I wasn't for it, because I knew it wouldn't work. But I was for it, but I knew it wouldn't work. And my aunt, who's an 84-year-old Sunday school teacher up to this day, says, listen. I said, she's too young for me. She said, so are most other women. Which I thought was pretty nasty. She said, remember, you're not the one that's losing anything. She's willing. We all started running around together because I was never going to marry again, neither was she. She is Catholic, and they don't let them, you know. So we've had the best 4.5 years we've ever had. Which is, I would love to take credit for it, but I can't stand it. I said, there's one good thing about it, darling. We will never go anywhere where the... Just leave him out there? We'll never go anywhere where they say, y'all look like you belong together. That's what they told me about the second one. Wouldn't you hate it to miss it? Hell, we didn't miss it. God, isn't that something else? And I guess it can't be that you and I know where we are. I guess they can't really let us know where we are. We've got what these people are paying money for. These people are sending money to these TV guys. Swaggart. Look at old Swaggart, what he did for us. He always made fun of us. But look what he did. He did the... My wife was into all that... The second one was into all that kind of stuff. You know, she even took me to Oral Roberts to speak in tongues. And I told her, I said, listen, I haven't spoken in tongues since I quit drinking. Of course, it didn't work. We went up there. Look what Swaggart did for us. He did it for me. I don't know where he did it for anybody else or not. But he did it. Hell, if I'd known he was having that trouble, we could have gone in my car. You can't go down there in a $100,000 Lincoln without them noticing you, damn it. We could go in my old car and they thought it belonged down there. He didn't even get to do it. We could have helped him do it, you know. But he proved it to us. He proved it to us. He did it. He had all the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He had the revealings of God's Word in the Bible. God went through him and healed a lot of people. He had it all. Left out one thing. He preached it. He preached repent, but he didn't do it. He didn't have what we had. And he had the old sex thing that I had. Could not get rid of it. You know why? He and God had it. But until he did what you and I do. See, you and I admit to God, myself, and what? Another human being. We got it. You know that old bumper sticker somebody, some church outfit put on there, we found it? We've got it. Except God's got us where we can't boast about it. What are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you go out and get drunk, shack up a lot, get divorced, run around, have a bunch of car wrecks, get in jail and everything, come on in, we'll let you find the Lord. Spoke at a Baptist church one time. This Baptist preacher went all the way to Shuler out there to find it. Did you find it? No, I didn't find it. Why? They ain't got it. Can't go after something they haven't got. Whatever they've got, I mean, it's fine for them. But I want to tell you something about you and I. There's not a place in the world you and I are in the place that was created by Almighty God Himself. This book that these guys are telling us about, you and I, this book was written by God especially for us. Won't work for anybody else. Just us. The one that got sick from alcoholism, the one that got sick living with that alcoholic, that book was written for us. When you, the guy with the inner child, I talked to him when I was 3 years sober. That was before he got in the deal and the money. And he said, this is the strongest spiritual way of life available to a human being today. He said, I've studied every form of religion and philosophies. This is the strongest one. He says, you watch. This is 1969. He said, you watch. They're going to take these 12 steps and try to use them for everything, but it's not going to work because it'll be a watered-down version. You have to do it or you won't get it. If you do it a little bit, you won't get it. You'll have to do it, but you'll get it. And that guy talking about the inner child, you know who that is? Old Jim Williams. And I love it. What did God tell you? You must come to me one way only, as a little child. You must have a childlike faith to be my child. And you and I got it. That's us. Thank God we've got it. Hell, we're there. You know what you did? Up to this minute, you have done everything exactly what you were supposed to do. You and I, you know what we were doing out there? You thought you were out there having children and getting married and becoming self-sufficient. That's what the world says. You and I failed, didn't we? Because God's kids must fail to know Him. God's kids cannot be self-sufficient and know Him. God's people have to become helpless. Baptists used to say, well, I'm nothing without Him. You and I had to go be nothing so we'd know what that was. And who's going to go there? I wouldn't have gone there, would you? I went there, but I didn't go there because I wanted to go there. That's a bad feeling, be nothing. Isn't it? You know, we don't hurt, we hurt. Greatest thing that we could ever done. The only thing you and I were doing before we came, before God sent us to Alcoholics Anonymous, we were getting prepared to become what He wanted us to be. And we, were you thorough? I was. I didn't come early. I did not get here early. They didn't say, go back, you're too early. I became, and who took care of me? I did everything I could to destroy myself and anybody to go with me. Could I do it? No, sir. How come we couldn't? How come it didn't happen? How come you and I are here? Because Almighty God had chosen you and I. I don't know when it was. Whether it was before we were born or after. I don't know when that was. I just know we are chosen. I know that today. And I know one thing. He had you and I in the palm of His hand all that time. And took care of us. Until He could get us here. Had no. Did you know that's where you was going? Did you know I got to get out there and have a bunch of car wrecks, get in a lot of trouble, go to jail, do all this kind of stuff, so I can get prepared to go to AA? Then if you didn't know where you was going, it's none of your business where you're going after you get here. Because remember, all the things you were doing was not what you were doing. And after you get here, they've got you doing a bunch of stuff that you think you're doing for certain purposes, but it's not, because what you're doing has nothing to do with what you're doing. Because everything that's going on is not anything that you think is going on. It wasn't that way before you got here, and it's not that way now. But what are you and I going to get to do? You and I are going to get to know God as my Father is going to be my only parent. God as my Father is going to be my Father. And I want to get to go to Him as His child. And I want to get to do that on a daily basis. I've had a better relationship with Him in the last 3 or 4 years. A free relationship, and a relationship that lets me go to Him as a Father I've never known before. And I'm able to take everything within my life and be able to offer it to Him and talk to Him. And He listens. Isn't that amazing that that's happened to me? I had no idea that that was anywhere near. One time I was driving to Brownwood. I travel. And I was driving to Brownwood and one afternoon, and God came in that car with me, and He let me know that you and I were not going to be able to live here without Him. And He let me know that the only thing you and I did not know was that we didn't know we were His children. And without knowing that, it left an emptiness here that you and I could not fill. And we tried every way to fill it, but we couldn't do it. Because it wasn't going to be. And that was so strong in me those 4 days, it took 4 days for it to wear off, that I knew. What I needed to know was that Almighty God loved me. And without knowing that, I couldn't make it. And now I know some things about us. God chose us. He put us together. How come He didn't fit in the world? Wasn't supposed to. God's children don't fit here. God's children are not supposed to fit here. If you fit here, I don't know who you are. But if you don't fit here, you're God's kid. What are you doing here? Where do you think you're meeting here tonight? How'd you know who's going to be here? How do you know what you're going to hear? You don't even know what you heard today. You may not even know what you heard. But you heard what you're supposed to hear, but you don't know what it is. Why don't you know what it is? Because you're not supposed to know what it is. All you need to know is God's got me well in hand. He's going to take my life. He's going to transform me into what He created me to be, because I've finally gotten into where? His kingdom. I now live in His kingdom. I now live with the people that He put together. I now live with them. They're my people. Where did He bring us from? Every single walk of life. Not a one has been left out. God did not leave out of life. He brought us from everywhere. For what? I have no idea. And may never know. Except I know this. You and I are supposed to carry this message to others who continue to suffer, which is you and I, without a shadow of a doubt. And you and I are to continually work on one thing and one thing only, our conscious conduct with God. And that's going to give us the life that He gives, not the one that I give myself. Today, I wish I could say here that I never will arrange anything else ever again myself. I'd give anything in the world if I could say that I'll never be able to do that again. Because I know this today. Everything that I've been able to leave alone, everything I've been able not to arrange, has been arranged solely and taken care of by Him. It's been absolutely unbelievable. But today, anything that I mess with, no matter what it looks like, I wish I hadn't done it. Because you and I don't know about other people, but I know what the deal is with you and I. You and I have the place. We're in the place. This is it. This is it for you and I. Almighty God sent us in here. He arranged it. He said, I'll prepare a place for you. And as soon as you and I got ready, there it was. You know what it is to be in darkness? You bet. What did He do? As soon as I got ready, He picked me up and set me in the light. So I know what it is to come from that darkness into that light in the kingdom and the place that He had created for me. And He had the guy ready. The guy got me and took me. And here I am. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm with you and I'm supposed to be there. As long as I do what you say, and as long as I do and live with you, I'm going to be in the power that only God's children have. That one power that transforms and overcomes all situations and all things and gives me life. See, I could have gone to 10 different denominations and 1,000 different churches, and my life would never have been any different until God sent me to be with you. As I go through life today, as I become prepared, God has whatever's ready for me, ready for me. I need to be prepared. I need to go through the situations that prepare me for the next step, because I now live in that one power that only God's children live in. Thank God I stayed with you long enough to feel God loving me and me loving Him. But the difference was you. You see, every time I call you or you call me, every time you and I meet together, that power never fails us. Just like it's been here this weekend, just like it is right now. When I can feel you loving me and me loving you. Thank you very much.